Hey, I want to talk today about believing in your heart. You know, faith isn't in your head. Faith is in your heart. You can believe something to be true in your head, but that doesn't mean a breakthrough is coming your way. You got to believe it in your heart. And I want to start in a scripture. It's one of these passages of scripture that is it's one you've probably never heard. It's tucked away in a deep part of the Bible. You've probably never heard this verse, and it's usually not read when you talk about faith, but I'm going to mention it to you. I don't know if you, John 3:16. What? John 3:16. You know, it's a simple verse, but wow, it's so powerful, right? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't that powerful? You learned it as a child. There's people in the world live like the devil. They can quote John 3:16. There's banners at sporting events. John 3:16. And so this is one of the most famous, well-known, most quoted, and most powerful verses in all of the Bible. It's one that everyone learns from childhood, as we're saying, and new Christians know it. It's a verse of scripture that's simply stated, but deeply profound, because it encapsulates the gospel message. John 3:16 conveys a simple but powerful truth that is key to living a life of faith with God. And there are two phrases in this verse I want us to focus on today, and that are these: he gave, whoever believes. Somebody say it with me. He gave. Whoever believes. It's a really powerful verse. Not only does it convey a gospel message, but it conveys really how you operate by faith, how you receive by faith. He gave whoever believes, right? So we know John 3:16 is that ultimate salvation verse, but these two phrases are foundational principles to receiving anything from God. Notice that John said, so God so loved the world that he gave the gift of eternal life through his son Jesus. Aren't you glad that he saved a wretch like you? I'm talking about some of you people. You know what I'm saying? Aren't you glad that he loved you and he saved you? I'm so thankful that not only did he save me, but he didn't leave me where I was when he saved me. He gave the gift of life, eternal life through his son Jesus. And the gift of eternal life, though, only comes to those whoever believes. Although eternal life is a gift that God has made available to all men all over the world, it only comes to those who believe. The fact is, God has a gift he desires to give, but we can only have the gift if we believe. No matter what God wants to give us, he wants to give us many things, but we'll only receive what we need that he's willing to give if we believe, right? We got to receive it. Receiving his gift only comes one way. It comes by believing. You know, one must believe that Jesus is the Son of God. You know, to be a Christian, you got to be pretty weird. That's why it works for me. I mean, it just is natural, right? You got to believe that a virgin conceived. Can you imagine Isaiah when he was prophesying, you want a sign? I'm going to give you a sign. A virgin, he's like, God, that just sounds crazy. A virgin's going to conceive. You got to believe some crazy stuff. But you know what? That's why we're faith people, right? We're not of this world. We're of the kingdom of God. Amen? So we got to believe that Jesus, Son of God, he died as a substitute for our sins. Aren't you thankful? He was raised from the dead. And when one believes on Jesus for salvation, he or she then receives the gift of what? Eternal life with God. So we see in Romans 10:8-10, it further explains how believing works in the receiving process. Because if you don't believe, you're not going to receive. It doesn't matter what God wants to give man, and doesn't matter what man's needs are, man has to believe in order to receive what God wants to give to meet the need. Amen. Well, if God wants to give it to me, he does, but you have to believe and receive it. He says in Romans 10:8-10, but what does it say? the word is near you. It is in your mouth. These are the way he's quoting the words of Moses. It's in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God is raising from the dead, you're going to be what? Saved. I mean, it's pretty much, there it is. If you believe this, then you're going to be saved. But then he goes on to say, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So this passage is also another famous one that kind of gives you the dynamics of faith, of believing and receiving. It succinctly explains that when a person believes in his heart, which is faith, on Jesus, and confesses his mouth that he is Lord, then the individual receives the gift of salvation. We all, many of us can remember the moment. You know, I've met people, you know, I just grew up in church. I was saved at a young age. I can't even, it's been so long, I can't even remember the exact time. But, you know, I've never not been saved and never not been in church. But, you know, some people that were in the world before they got saved, they can tell you the day, the month, the moment, how it happened, why it made such an impact. Why? Because Jesus saved them, but it came as a result of them believing. And because they believed it and they confessed it out of their mouth, they received it and it changed their life. Amen? So it explains how a person believes in his heart on Jesus, confesses with the mouth, for the gift of salvation. And you know what? There's only one thing that bridges the gap between God's gift and man receiving. There's only one thing that bridges that gulf between what God wants to give and what man needs to receive, and that is believing in one's heart. You've got to believe in your heart. The belief from the heart is what the Bible calls faith, and faith is so important because it's the key to receiving from God. Do we have that graphic? It's just a simple faith diagram. If we can pull that up. So God gives, man receives, right? God has made available many things, even beyond salvation, that he wants to give. And there are many things we need to receive from God, but there's only one way to receive it. Amen. It's faith. Amen. Faith is the thing that bridges the gap between what God wants to give you and what man needs to receive. Now, over the years of ministering to people, well, if God wants to give it, well, he wants to give it. I'm about to slap you right now. He wants to give it. I didn't slap him. I was just thinking it, though. Right? Come here. We're about to lay hands on you repeatedly. Why does faith please God? Because man will not receive what God has made available to him without faith. Just as God provided the gift of salvation for man's spirit that leads to eternal life, he's also provided the gift of healing for man's body. He's provided for, there's a provision for your healing. And it says, by his stripes, I am healed. He wants to restore. He wants to mend the broken heart. He wants to bless you. He wants to prosper you. He wants to increase you more and more. Come on, don't let people out there and on social media and the media land talk about that health and wealth people. I'm here to tell you today, there's no such thing as a prosperity gospel. There's no such thing as a healing gospel. There's no such thing as a woke gospel. There's no such thing as a social gospel. There's only one gospel. Anytime you put a modifier in front of the word gospel, you change what it means. There's only one gospel. It is the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it saves, and it heals, and it delivers, and it prospers, and it blesses. Come on. If God never did anything else for you except save your soul and give you eternal life with him, that would be enough. But he's a good, good father, and he's done more than just save you. He wants to heal you. He wants to set you free. He wants to bless you. Amen? Come on. You know, that's why you can't let the world talk you out of your faith. It's not a wealth gospel. It's like, hey, I'm blessed with believing Abraham, and the blessing of Abraham has come upon the Gentiles. Yeah. Amen? And when God blesses you, Don't walk with your head down like, well, I just, come on. You stand tall and stand straight. I'm an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Cain could have had the same blessing that Abel had if he had done what Abel was willing to do. You got to have faith, right? You got to have faith in God. So, you know, too many Christians have been taught that faith starts and stops with salvation. But God has made so many more things available to us through Jesus. Now, I don't know about here in Texas, but where I'm living in the deep south of in Alabama, it's like the belt buckle of the Bible Belt. Everybody saved. Really, I hadn't seen you at church in a long time. Oh, I'm saved? Please. It's not just about church. You know, because people just grew up in that religious culture. That's why I quit using the word saved at church. I'm talking about born again. Right? You're born again. Right? Not just saved because you have a religious idea or a loose affiliation with the church. Are you born again, right? And so, but what happens is that a lot of people have just kind of learned that, you know, by faith you receive salvation. But it's like anything else that you may ever need or want from God is if it's his will, his sovereignty. Like, God's fickle and he's moody and he's choosy and he's picky. It's like he'll do it for one, but he may not do it for another. I'm like, if you believe that by faith you receive salvation, then you don't have to be a theologian to figure out, by faith I'm going to also receive my healing. By faith I'm going to also... Why do we believe that we understand that we have to believe in our heart and confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus for salvation? But guess what? You're going to have to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth for your healing. You're going to believe in your heart and confess with your mouth for that blessing to come, that breakthrough to come. Let me just say that. Romans 8:32. He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how will he not with him also freely give us all things to enjoy? I mean, don't hate me. It's the word. You faith preachers. Thank you. Pastor Chaz, this always bugged me. If you go back and look, two great evangelists that God raised up in the late 40s, the tent revivals. Billy Graham, maybe you heard of him. You know, it's like Billy Graham's up there with Paul. It's like, you know, Billy Graham said. And it just qualifies everything you're about to say because people trust Billy Graham. And Oral Roberts. Contemporaries. And they were friends, actually. And, you know, Billy Graham you see some of those clips that they post on social media, especially when he was young, man, he was fiery. But you could feel the anointing just as he preached and bringing people to salvation. It was powerful, you know? But also Oral Roberts, he preached and miracles happened. And the people were healed and delivered. And you know what? No one ever criticized Billy Graham for being a faith saver. Y'all don't hear me. But Oral Roberts was criticized and hated because he was a faith healer. Thank you. I'll be here all day. He's like, and today you'll still see it. You know, those faith healers, like their snake oil cell. Excuse me. That was a puberty moment right there. Just came back. I need a healing myself. You never hear them say of Billy Graham, he was that faith saver. But you hear them say of all the other guys, you know, those faith healers. Really? But what was Billy Graham preaching? Come to Jesus, come to salvation in the name of Jesus. Put your trust in him, believe in him, put your faith in him, and you'll be saved. What was Oral Roberts saying? Hey, same thing. Put your faith in Jesus and you'll find out that not only is a saver, he's a healer. Why? Because if God would not withhold his only son, how much more will he also give us all the other things he has for us? And the same way you receive it by faith for salvation is the same way you're going to receive the other things. Amen? Isn't that good? Praise God. But it's like we understand faith for salvation, but if it be his will, you know, if it's in his sovereignty, come on. It's absurd to suggest that the only gift God freely gives is salvation, and any other gift is based on his will and sovereignty. Salvation, though the greatest gift of all, is really the door, the beginning of a life in the kingdom of God where you enjoy the benefits of his salvation. Remember when David said, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not," I feel like preaching right, "and forget not all his benefits. He forgives all my iniquities. He heals all my diseases. He redeems my life from destruction. He satisfies my mouth with good things." Come on. God has a benefit plan that's better than your work. But how are you going to receive it? By faith. Notice what he was saying. "Bless the Lord, O my soul." He's speaking it out. He's praising God. Sometimes your soul doesn't feel like it. You got to tell your soul, "Hey, soul, bless the Lord. Come on, don't forget his benefits. Put yourself in a position to receive." Amen. We receive all the other gifts God has for us by operating in faith. James 1:6-8. "But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do." So we see James was quite clear. He says we will not receive anything from God apart from faith. Now it's interesting. He starts by talking about wisdom. If you lack wisdom, he said, then ask God for it, and God will give it to you liberally. But then as he goes on, he says, as a matter of fact, you're not going to receive anything from God if you are double-minded and you struggle with doubt. Now, here's the thing we've got to know as Christians. We don't struggle with unbelief because we've already believed. Our kryptonite is doubt. Believing it's true 1 minute, believing he'll do it 1 minute, and then may not believe it the next minute. It's easy to come into church and you feel the anointing and you feel the faith, but tomorrow and today when you leave, Satan's going to challenge the word. And so what happens is you start, "Was that really true? I felt it in the service, but is that really?" Come on, it's true. Amen. It's true. And so you can't doubt. And so James says, you're not going to receive anything from God apart from faith. So this implies there are many things to receive from God, but no matter the thing we need, faith is the key to receiving. Are you being blessed this morning? You know, the world is pregnant with unbelief. If you don't believe it, turn on the news. You don't believe it, just scroll a little bit on social media. You're like, geez, it's pregnant with unbelief. It's a world of unbelief. You'll walk out these doors today, you're entering an environment of unbelief. Right? And so what you've got to do is counteract that by understanding that faith is the bridge to what I need and what God wants to give. And I cannot waffle and doubt. I can't believe 1 minute and then not believe the next. So doubt is that thing that weakens my faith, and it gets us out of position to receiving from God. So real quickly, faith is the key to receiving. We got to understand how it works. And I know you've been well taught. I just want to encourage you today that, number one, you've got to believe in your heart. Faith, excuse me, a little struggling this morning. Faith is born in the heart of man. It's not born in the mind of man. The Bible doesn't say that the mind of man is the candle of the Lord. It says the spirit of man is the candle of the Lord. Right? So come on, turn on your heart light. I know there's another song right there. They just come to me. I'm not saying it's prophetic, but it's really not. It's pathetic, but here we see the reference to the spirit of man, right? Faith is born in the heart. You know, you're a trichotomy. God. Remember, God said, "Let us make man." Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, right? Let us make man in our own image. And we shared this with the men yesterday. So this is so powerful because this English loses some of the original statements of Hebrew, right, or Greek. And so, and he says that God formed Adam out of the dust of the ground. So he had the body that he needed, but he wasn't alive until God breathed into his nostrils. And in English, it says the breath of life, singular, but in Hebrew, it's the breath of lives, plural. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. What does that mean? That means that when God breathed into his nostrils, he gave him a human spirit, and he gave him a soul, a mind. And it says he became a living being, right? And so the mind became, the medium between his spirit and his flesh. And so we see that he was a trichotomy. And when we're born again, it's not our body that is born again. It's our spirit man. That's why it says the spirit of the man is the candle of the Lord, right? And so this means that when you're born again, the spirit of God ignites in you, regenerates your dead spirit, is dead in sin, into a new creation in Christ. The spirit of God is on the inside of you. And that the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead raises you up to a new man and a new woman. Amen. And it's by our born-again spirit that God leads us. It's by our born-again spirit that he speaks to us. It's by our born-again spirit that, power comes from us. So faith is not believing something to be true in your mind. Faith is knowing something is true from your spirit so that it becomes your conviction. Your head isn't born again when you're born again. Trust me. You can be saved. You can be good and saved and been saved a long time. The old saints used to call it, he got good and saved. Who knew it? You can be saved, but then there's a whole other level of good and saved. You know what I'm saying? But you can be saved in your mind, not be so saved. Right? So what do you have to do? You have to wash it with the water of the word, and you have to renew the mind. Because remember, when God breathed the breath of lives into him, he was perfect. He knew no sin. So his mind was the medium between his flesh and his spirit, and his mind was in conjunction with his spirit so that it ruled his flesh. But when sin came in, now his mind's, he's cray-cray. Right? Come on. He's a little crazy now. And now he's, and what happens if your mind, that's why you see people get born again and they still live like they've always lived, is because their mind was never renewed by the word of God. Therefore, their mind allows their flesh to dominate. Because why? Faith is born in the spirit. But once the word of God starts changing your thinking, your mind will start getting into agreement with what your spirit already knows. With what your spirit already knows is true. And what happens? Then you start ruling over things instead of letting things rule over you. Because now your mind and spirit are working together. Come on, somebody. Come on. Amen, Pastor. Praise God. That's good right there. Amen. Reggie, where you at when I need you, man? Come on, dude. Man, you're failing on the job, bro. Come on. So, you know what? We have a tendency to, and look, I'm preaching to me right now. I could turn around, and if I could turn around and look at me, I'd look at me. Because my wife reminds me a lot. We have a tendency to overthink things and overanalyze situations. And I was teasing the other day with the men that there's a difference between, I know Texas is south, but I'm talking about like south, like where I'm from. It's like difference between a situation and a situation. You know what I'm saying? I have literally turned just a little situation into a situation because I overanalyzed and overthought it. And you know what you can do? You can reason yourself right out of faith, and then you'll say, well, it must have not been God's will. Jack, it was his will all the time, but you got yourself out of position to receive what he had for you because you overthought it, and then you got into doubt. Right? I only able to say it because I've been there, right? And I have I have two great gifts in my life, the Holy Spirit and my wife. And there's times that she will, I'm like, girl, you better get your finger out my face. Because she'll remind me of all the things I preach. I'm like, don't use my stuff on me. But you know what? I have to hear it because it's true. And sometimes I would be like, you know what? You're right. You're right. I have to hear it too. Praise God. Because why? Sometimes you're not always so pastoral. You're a human too, right? And I hate to break it to you. Sometimes I'm just Brad. I'm not Pastor Brad, right? But either way, we have to be faith people at all times. Because we'll reason ourselves out of faith and start getting into doubt. And then we don't receive, well, maybe God didn't want it for me. No, that's a religious spirit talking. That isn't the word of God talking. Am I helping somebody today? I promise you I'm hurrying. I'm sorry. You got to confess with your mouth. You believe in your heart, right? Faith is born in the spirit of man, not in the mind, right? Because you can believe something to be, I believe that. That's not faith. That's just you're acknowledging that a fact is true. That's not faith. Believing in your heart means it's so true that it becomes your conviction, right? And you got to confess it with your mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, you speak what you believe, right? When we're born again, we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus. And we see that as a result of that confession, we receive the gift of salvation. Well, that's how faith works for everything. You've got to believe in your heart and you've got to confess with your mouth. And if faith is the key to receiving from God, then everything we need will be received by believing and confessing. Now, the world, some religious people will be like, all those name, listen, I grew up in the word of faith, right? And I heard it all. Oh, those name it and claim it people. Right? I'm like, Jack, you've I try to stay good and save people, I promise, you know. But it's like, well, how'd you get saved? You named it and claimed it. Right? You believed it and you spoke it. Why do you change it when it comes to all the other things? How are you going to get healing? You better name it and claim it, right? You believe it and you speak it. Come on. You're like, you know, that's why Christians are to appear different than those in the world. People in the world, they believe what they see. They speak based upon that belief. Christians, on the other hand, we believe what we cannot see and we confess that it's ours before we have it. I'm going to say it again because that just made me feel good. People in the world, they believe what they see. And they speak based on what they believe. But Christians, we believe what we cannot see. And we confess that it's mine even before I have it. This was true when you were born again, when you received salvation. It's going to be true when you receive your healing. It's going to be true when you receive whatever else it is that God wants to bring to your life. So I'm going to give you two examples and I close, right? You know what? My church teased me about all my closings, and my youngest son, Sydney, he's going to be the pastor. He's going to one-up me all the time, right? I'm going to build a church bigger than Lakewood. Joel Osteen's going to be jealous. I'm like, I don't think he's going to be jealous. I don't think he's going to care, right? But it's just to upstage me all the time, right? And so he was going to build this museum when he becomes pastor, and it's going to have a statue of my dad, you know, of a founding. It says, Pastor Jerry Sullivan, founding pastor. He said, then I'm going to have a statue of you, Dad. It says, Pastor Brad Sullivan, the man of three closings. I'm like, really? Of all the good things I say, that's what you get, that I may close three or four times? I mean... So I'm going to give you a couple examples. These are things that you've seen in Scripture, but you've got to just look at them for what they really, these testimonies, what they really say. Look at the woman with the issue of blood. Now, a certain woman had a flow of blood, Mark 5, 25 to 28, for 12 years. I mean, you think you had a bad stretch? I'm talking 12 years. She's been losing blood. She's been losing a life source for 12 years. You know? And had suffered many things from many physicians. Can you imagine in those days what they may have done to her body? The mutilation she may have gone through just to try to help her, right? She spent all that she had and was no better and rather grew worse. But she heard. Faith comes by. But she heard about Jesus. And she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said If only I may touch his clothes, I know I'll be made well. Notice the scripture records that she heard about Jesus. The Bible tells us that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Why do you need church a lot and all the time and regularly? Because you need to hear the word all the time. Amen? You need to hear the word all the time. Come on, amen. You ain't got to have church to be a Christian, but you ain't got to jump out of an airplane with a parachute either, but man, it sure helps. Just saying, right? Church is still the biblical pattern for a Christian. Do not forsake. That's why it's such a joy to see you all today, right? So, but I love the fact that her faith was built by the reports and the testimonies she's heard of Jesus, right? And when she heard he was coming by, she was like, that's my chance right there. And her faith caused her to confess her belief. And I love this passage in Mark because Mark kind of gives us her inner thoughts. She says to herself, you know what? If I could reach out and touch his garment, I know I'd be. What was she doing? She was confessing what she believed. Amen? Faith isn't denial of reality. You know, over the years, I've ministered to people, you know, person with a broke arm in a cast. Oh, man, you broke your arm. No, I didn't. I don't receive that. I'm like, dude, you had people sign it. It's a broke arm. I don't receive that. I'm like, well, it's too late. You already received it. I mean, dang, dude. Faith is a denial of a reality. It's like, hey, I'm sick, but you know what? It's okay. By his stripes, I am healed, and I'm working on my healing. Right? Sometimes people try to get into this weird retreating from life and this cocoon of denial. That isn't faith. Faith is like, man, I have a flow of blood, and if I don't get some help quick, I'm going to die very, very soon. So she's like, this is my chance. And I know if I can just reach out and touch the hem of his garment. And that little lady who's been losing blood for 12, can you imagine how weak she was? She summoned the last measure of strength she had in her body. She forced her way through a crowd. And right at the nick of time as he passed, she reached a hold of Jesus's clothes. But it was the belief and confession became her conviction. And that conviction motivated her to action, because faith can't just be a confession only. It has to have a corresponding action, because faith without works is dead. What happens to people is that when all they have is a confession and they never act on it, it starts becoming like this weird fantasy. You got to believe it, confess it, and act on it. She believed it, she spoke it, and she started moving in the direction. And immediately the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around the crowd and said, who touched me? Who touched my clothes? Everyone was touching. The disciples were making their way through the crowd because they were following the leader of the synagogue, Jairus, to his house because his daughter was sick and she was about to die. And everyone's just trying to touch Jesus because so many people needed something from Jesus that day. But your need is not the key. It's what God wants to give you for your need. The key to the bridge to it is faith. Amen. Need doesn't make you unique, because we all have them. It's faith in God. Right? And so Jesus, no, and I love this. Come on, somebody receive this right now in your body. The anointing, when the virtue, I love it. It says the word virtue means ability. God's ability went into her body. And it didn't bounce around trying to find it. The Bible says that the fountain of her blood dried up, meaning the anointing, the ability of God went into her body, and it sealed it at the very source where the blood was coming out. Man. And here's what I love, church. My goodness. And Jesus said in 34, verse 5:30, they brought her to her. She was like, sorry, Lord, to disturb you. But she explained the situation to him. And notice what he says to her in verse 34. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Notice what Jesus didn't say. He didn't say, my power made you well. Today I have willed it that you be healed, and that my will made you well. My sovereignty made you well. He was like, oh, cool. Your faith made you well. Amen. Because in his sovereignty and in his will, he's already given you all things. If God would not withhold his only son, how much more will he also give us freely all things to enjoy? He's already made them available. But it's your faith that makes you whole. It's your faith that brings the peace. It's your faith that brings the healing. Amen? Just believe and receive. Amen. It's believe and receive. You know, have we all suffered sickness before? Yes. Have we all suffered disease and things before? Yes. Have we suffered loss? Yes. My father last year passed of COVID, a man that stood in faith for me. When I was a child and of a crippled leg, and he kept believing until I was healed. And I'm like, you know, how did he die of COVID? But it's okay. Our experiences in his life don't determine our faith. We go through some things in this life, but God's word is still the standard that we live by in spite of what we experience. How do you figure Elisha? The Bible says he got sick with this illness that was going, he would die from. He does a miracle while he's sick. And then one day in a battle, they threw a dude's body in a retreat down a hole that happened to be Elisha's grave. And in death, Elisha still did a miracle because the power of God was still in his bones. There's some things you're like, you know what? You can't even wrap your mind around that, right? How do you figure that? But it's okay. Your experiences in life, don't let those things determine your faith. In this world, you're going to have tribulation. In this world, you're going to get knocked down. That doesn't mean you're not a faith person. It just means you're a real person living in a real world. And that's why we have to have our faith in God to overcome. Amen? I just want to get that condemnation. Anybody feels a condemnation about things you may have suffered, it's all right. Don't let those things shake you out of your faith. Amen? And lastly, I promise, in my second closing today, right? I did tell him, though, I said, if you do a statue of me, dude, I mean, I want a microphone in my hand and I want my finger out like that. So that people know, even in death, he's still giving them the finger. It's the preaching finger. Stop it, people. Right? In Mark chapter 10, verse 46 through 48, now they came to Jericho. And as he went out of Jericho with his disciples, there in a great multitude, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the road begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out, say, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. And they went, then many wanted him to be quiet, but he cried out all the more, son of David, have mercy on me. Again, we see the dynamics of faith at work in his testimony. Bartimaeus had heard of the testimony of Jesus. He heard of the miracles of Jesus, right? And faith comes by hearing. And when he heard that Jesus was passing by, he began to cry out. You know, it's for a blind man who's a beggar who gets taken to a spot every day to beg. You know, it's like logistically you have to figure this out. He's not going to be able to get up through a crowd and make his way because he can't see to Jesus. So he has to use that one resource that he has, his voice. You know, Jesus, he just starts screaming out, crying out, Jesus, son of David. Now, here's the thing. What he had heard built his faith, and he confessed his belief. In the Old Testament, God made a promise to David that from your lineage is going to come a king, going to come a great Messiah, right? And so that's why we see in the New Testament when Gabriel comes to Mary and says, hey, you're blessed among women, highly favored girl. You're going to have a son and you're going to call him Jesus. And he's going to sit on the throne of what? His father, David. Right? So we see a confirmation of what Gabriel says to Mary of what God promised David. But in the Old Testament, this title, son of David, became this moniker or term that was expressly reserved for Messiah. So when you said son of David, you're talking about the Messiah, right? So this is a blind beggar. First of all, he doesn't have the right to be able to disrupt people. He just sticks out his cup. He gets what he gets. But In that moment, while the Spirit of God is working, you know, Helen Keller, the famous Alabamian, by the way, once said that the saddest thing is for people who can see and not have vision, right? You see, but you don't have any vision, right? Well, here's a blind man that the Spirit of God speaks to him, and he has this moment of revelation that, you know what, this guy is not just some prophet or holy man with power. This is the Son of David. This is the one that the prophets prophesied. This is the Messiah. So you had here a blind man by the Spirit has more sight than all the people that are there. So when he started saying, Son of David, have mercy on me, it's not that he was shouting that they tried to quiet him. It's what he was shouting. They were like, oh, dude, you speaking heresy? That's blasphemy to call him the Messiah. But I love the fact that once his faith kicked in, they couldn't stop it. He said, the Bible says he shouted out all the more, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. You know what? When God's put something in your heart, you hold on to it. You don't let your family talk you out of it. You don't let circumstances talk you out of it. Because you know how your family has an impact on you. Uncle Ray Ray. And Pookie and them. They will talk you out of it. You're like, well, maybe what I believe is not true, and maybe I don't need that, or maybe I shouldn't. Maybe that's asking too much. Come on, if God put in your heart, you hold on. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. He's cried out. And when Jesus heard somebody acknowledging that title, he knew somebody knew who he was. He's still trying to get his disciples to get it. Right? And so he stopped and said, who's saying that? And he said, bring the man to me. And so the man comes. And I love the fact that he takes off his cloak. You know, for the beggar, they were issued a government cloak. You couldn't just go and beg. You had to have like a license to beg. And it was this government cloak that they would issue you to wear. And that was like, you know, your license for begging. And look, here we see, church. Here we see a man who's about to experience a healing, and he's about to have a financial change in his life, because now he won't be dependent on begging and getting the crumbs of what people drop. He'll be able to make a life for himself. It's not a health and wealth gospel. It's that God loves every part of you, and he wants you to be whole, spirit, soul, mind, and body. It's the gospel of the Lord Jesus. It's what the Messiah came to do, to preach the gospel to the poor, to open up the blinded eyes, to heal the brokenhearted. So he throws off that cloak knowing, you know what? My life is about to change. And he makes his way over to Jesus. Jesus is like, over here. Oh, yeah. Sorry. I had to do that. I'm so inappropriate, you know? I asked my kids, man, you guys are so inappropriate. Stop it. I don't even recognize the two children I'm raising. My wife's like, they get it from you. I'm like, oh. Right? He makes his way over to Jesus, and like Jesus didn't know he was blind. And Jesus said, what do you want? He was like, duh. But what was Jesus doing? Letting him confess what he believes in his... Like, Jesus is like, dude, over here. Yeah. He come, what do you want? Excuse me? Duh. No. What do you, why? You believe in your heart and you confess it with your... Lord, that I may receive my sight. And it doesn't say Jesus. You know, that's why... When you're spiritual, you don't have to be weird. Amen. This is a word of counsel to you. You know, you don't have to be a weirdo out there. Jesus wasn't a weirdo. You know, he didn't grandstand. You ever see those Bible movies where Jesus does a miracle? It's like he's like conjuring up like a spell. You know? He didn't do all that. He wasn't reaching out and being dramatic. He didn't even touch him. The moment he confessed to Jesus what he wanted, the Bible says immediately he received a sight. Look, Jesus had this happening all the time. He didn't have the time to touch everybody. He's like, dude, you got it. Let's go. Come on. Keep. And we're moving, right? I mean, it's every day. He's a blind man here, a demon possessed here, a sick person here, a leper there. It was every day. But here we see this man. Notice this. He has a faith birthed spiritual sight, and the spiritual sight causing it, put him in a position to receive his physical sight, right? And then the physical sight is about to change his financial circumstances, because now he can work for himself and not be dependent on the government, or not be dependent on what somebody may drop his way. Now he can prosper on a new level. And you know what he did? He pulled a Reggie. You know that he wasn't like, this guy had never seen before. He had no memory of sight. So you know he didn't just go, praise Jesus. He was like, I mean, you talking about running around the church and doing Jericho march. I mean, come on. Why? Because, I mean, brother, I'd never seen before. And now he sees. It's, but it's really, he heard, he believed, he confessed, and he acted on it. Right? It's that simple. I had to get to the third one, third closing. Mark 5:49. What did Jesus say? It's almost anticlimactic. You think Jesus would have had this moment where the angels are seeing the light. He's just like, all right, cool. I paraphrase, right? Go your way. Your faith has made you whole. Notice that. He didn't say, I willed it for you today. It was in the Father's will. It was the sovereignty of God. You know, he said, your faith made you whole. Salvation is a gift from God. Healing is a gift from God. Deliverance is a gift of God. Wholeness is a gift from God. Restoration is a gift from God. Your children being restored is a gift from God. Your blessing, your prosperity, your promotion, it's a gift from God. Every element of your life that your Lord cares about, you know, he wants to bless you in every one of those areas. They're all gifts from him, but they come not because he's moody and one day he wants to give it to you and the next day he may not want to give it to you. They come to you because he's the Father of lights. In him, there's no variation or shadow of turning. You can always go to the same God and experience the same goodness of the same good Father, and every good and perfect gift comes from him. It's just that you believe and you receive. Amen? Do you believe that? Can you stand on your feet today and give God praise? I hope you were blessed today. Forgive my shenanigans. Come on. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Amen. What is that? Just confessing it. Just confessing it. Amen. Believing it and confessing it. The world says believe. I believe it when I see it. So, the world tells you to say it like you see it, right? But you, the Christian, the Word of God tells us the opposite. Say it like God's Word says it. Well, I just call things like they are. Well, stop it. Call things like God says they are. You know, I don't know if you've ever heard this, but you serve a God who calls those things that are not to be, though, as they are. Okay, trust me, it's in the Bible. That's what it says. He calls those things. So here's the thing. Why should we operate by faith? Because your God operates by faith. He calls those things that are not to be, though, as they are. You know what? My family told me I'm crazy. But I'm not crazy. Whatever it is. The doctor says I'm sick. But you know what God says? I'm healed. Right? I have a sound mind. I'm healed in my body. You know, I look at my bank account, I'm like, but the Lord said I'm a tither. Now, if you're a tither and a sower, come on, then we have the grounds to believe with you for a financial breakthrough. Amen? Praise God. If you're not a tither and a sower, you need to repent and start honoring God with your resources. But that's for your pastor to talk about. Amen. Praise God. Isn't God good? Have you been blessed today? God is so good. Thank you, Lord.
Thank you for joining us for the preaching of God's Word. We trust that your faith and your love for God is stronger than ever before. More information about Stevenson Ministries and Houston Faith Church is available online at HoustonFaith.tv. Chaz and Joni Stevenson are the pastors of a dynamic, growing church in Houston, Texas, and have a New Testament vision of preaching the uncompromised Word of God with the power of the Holy Spirit, helping people get saved and building strong Christians who can impact their world. Houston Faith Church is a place where the love of God is real, where lives are changed, and where followers of Jesus become fishers of men.